Today, I want to share with you some chidushim from this sefer called Otzer Pilaos HaTara. This is a new sefer, it came out last year, 2 years ago. What it is he has midrashim that you never heard of before. Midrashim, chidushim.
Where did he pick it up from?
All over the place.
Who's the author?
The author is, a chassidisha. Zicherman. Zev Zicherman. You know who he is? Chibarti Bezit HaHoyis in the first little Zev Wolf Zicherman, that's his name. It was printed in Brooklyn, New York. No.
But is he from? Where is he from?
I don't know. I don't know. It made a big splash when it came out. He has some very chashva haskamas.
So it's about
tefillin. What?
Would you say it's tefillin? It's about worms?
No. About midrashim. Midrashim was on the parsha. This is the first volume. It's going to be supposedly 5 volumes. He already announced that the second volume is coming out this year from Shemos. This is the volume on Chumash Bereishis. And again, it's on the parsha. He goes to the parsha and he cites midrashim and yediyos. It's literally yediyos, midrashim, verdlach, which are off the beaten track.
Like kasha.
No, kasha is more. Kasha is everything.
Yeah.
Kasha is everything. This is a little bit different. I'll throw out a couple of things. Yes, if verdlach. It's really hard to define what the sefer is. I'll give you some examples and you'll see. So I just went through about half a parashas Vayera. Okay, I think the good stuff is at the end of the parasha. I didn't really get that far yet, but let me just present you a few ideas to get a taste. It's a very interesting sefer. It's not something really I can use on a Friday for Drush. It's not really a Drush sefer. It's just
Rabbi for Shalosh.
No, it's Shalosh Shus. You need Drush Verlach. This is more just ideas. This is more just ideas. Ideas. Okay, first thing he brings down here, this is a very nice idea. This really is more of a drushvada. The mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. We learn it from this week's parasha by Avraham Avinu, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Hashem himself came to visit Avraham Avinu. When we go to the Mevaker Cholim, we are under the impression that we have to speak to them, and we have to clean the room, and we have to bring them a food basket, or we have to tell them a joke, entertain them. No. How did Hashem be Mevaker Avraham? Vayera Elov Hashem. Appearance. Here I am. It does not say anywhere in the passage that Hashem spoke to him. There's no conversation. Vayera Elov Hashem. Hashem appeared. That is the Ikur Mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Just to show I'm here for you. You need not say one word. You need not do anything. After they kach, before you come, and the person is sleeping. He cites sources. Yimekayim the midst of the rush. This really comes from the rush. The rush. He brings down Yimekayim. Some of the things he brings down are from the major mefarshim. Just he finds them very interesting, so he quotes them. If you come to visit a chol and he's sleeping, you Yimekayim the midst, because when you leave, and they'll tell him that so and so came to visit. That itself is a fulfillment of Vayera Elov Hashem. Okay, then he goes on, he discusses it. Okay, that's the basic yisoid. And then he brings quotes to this famous var. Everyone heard this var. Chazal learned the makar for Bikur Cholim from the pasuk, Es Haderech Asher Yelchu Ba. Asher Yelchu Ba is the makar for the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. One of the sources that Chazal, what's the whole pasuk? V'hoidatem Levonecha, Levnei Vonecha. I'm sure quoting the right pasuk. Es Haderech Asher Yelchu Ba. And Chazal Darshan is Haderech Yelchu Ba Ze Bikur Cholim. So the Gemara asks the question: why are they medayik from the words Aderech Asher Yelchu Ba Bikur Cholim? The answer is just like there's a mitzvah to the mevaker, there's a mitzvah to leave. Don't stay too long and make the cholah uncomfortable. Come and leave. Yelchu Ba. Part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is knowing when to leave. Mm-hmm. Don't stand around too long and make, exactly, a shivakal also, don't stay around too long. Don't stay around too long. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, when did the Malachim appear to Avraham Avinu? So when we were children, we learned the whole story took place 1, 2, 3. Avraham was the third day of his Mila. Avraham's in pain. It's very hot. Hashem takes the sun out of its sheath in order to not trouble Avraham with guests. All of a sudden, Malachim appear. Ah! Baruch Hashem, I have some guests coming to the house. They come to the house to make some meal. The whole story is over within 2-3 hours, right? That's the impression that we get when you learn Chumash, when you taught the parsha in Cheder. The Malachim Adir, he makes a meal. What are you here for? We're here to be Mavasa. We're Sarah. Sarah's going to have a child. Avram runs and gets to the Bakr, gives them a meal. And within 2 hours, they're gone. They're on the way to Stone to destroy Stone. And Avram Avinu is the already being misspelled for Stone. According to the Medina, first of all, let's take a step back. At what time of the year did they come? Problem is, we have conflicting midrash. One midrash says that they came to Avraham Avinu on Sukkos. V'hishanu tachas ha'etz. According to one midrash, tachas ha'etz means under the sukkah, the schach. Avraham Avinu took them into the sukkah. Problem is, there's another midrash that says that he made for them asi ugos. He made for them matzah, shalosh sim, three matzos. Like we do today, we have three matzos. Shalosh snakur. Shalosh sim. There are many midrash mushim indicate that he made them ugos. That's why some of the matzos should be round, because it's called an ugo, ugo lashana of og, the circle. The midrash would clearly say it was Pesach. So how do we reconcile the contradiction? Did the Malachim come Pesach? Did the Malachim come on Sukkot? So that's not a kasha. We have many midrashim which conflict. There's no big deal. You can have midrashim which conflict with one another. But he cites here an unbelievable midrash, and he says, this is called Pelos. They stayed for 6 months. Not like we are familiar, like from Cheder. They were there for 2-3 hours. They came Sukkot, Vishanu Tachasreitz. He took them in. He developed a relationship with them. And they were there all the way until Pesach. 6 months. And that's how you reconcile the Mesh. A whole new madrega of Hachnosas Orchim. We think Hachnosas Orchim is come for a meal. Goodbye. Enough of you already. 6 months. Give out. How long can you hold out with the guest? What? Same Malachim. The same Malachim stayed around. The Malachim. Okay. Now, another interesting idea. These are ideas. He told the Malachim do not have feet. They do not have, the Malachim we know do not have joints. They cannot sit. That's why it's Vishanu. Vishanu means to recline, to lie down. He did not tell them shave to sit tachas ilan because they couldn't bend their knees. A malach is regularly shara, so he told them that. He told them Vishanu. Okay, another idea. He told these the halacha we mayim achronim. We have the meaning. We use a small amount of mayim achronim. Why do we use a small amount of mayim achronim? Why is it, wouldn't it be ideal to use a lot of water for mayim achronim? We eat a meal, we wash, mayim, we shim a lot, mayim achronim, we use a small amount of mayim achronim. Why? So, because Bizman had said there's no melech sedomus, just as a token fulfillment, but he brings a medrash that says the makor for mayim achronim come from the words yukach no me'at mayim. Yukach no is mayim rishonim. Me'at mayim is mayim acharonim. A clear makar that mayim acharonim should only bedafka be a small amount of water. A mashahu. And then he goes into the reason because it's Kabbalah, because the sitra achra, the satan, hangs out over the mayim acharonim. So you don't want to be marbe, you don't want to give the sitra achra, the satan, a nachiza, so you only give the malachim a small amount. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, we have this tree. He told them to recline underneath the tree. Now, there's a fascinating idea brought down in the biography of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, the name of the biography, the Chut HaMeshulash, it's a popular biography of the Chassam Sofer. It was written many, many years ago. The Chassam Sofer would send a lot of money to the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. That was one of his big things. He was a very big supporter of the Eretz Yisrael. And the people in Eretz Yisrael, the head of the Yishuv, Eretz Yisrael, wanted to be machzik toiva, to repay the kindness, to send a gift. Like today, they send you the organizations, you give them some stock, they'll send you some type of gift in the mail. So they wanted to send the gift to the Chassam Sofer. So what did they send him? So this is a fascinating idea, that until the time of the Chassam Sofer, it was known, or at least there was a tradition, the tree, anyone hear this before? The tree where Avraham Avinu invited the guests. You heard this before? There's a place, they have it today also?
The location.
Not the tree, but the location where the tree was. It was, no, that's another thing, that's an Eshel, it's another Eshel.
It's in Beersheba.
That's the Eshel. Beit Eshel Be'er Sheva, right? That's a different thing. That, but that also was known until recent times. And they cut it down. There was a fire there. But it was known where there was a tradition. There was a tradition which was, I guess, the basic tree or the area where the tree of Hishonu Tachas Ho'etz. So as a gift to the Chassam Sofer, they send the Chassam Sofer a piece of wood from that tree. They sent it all the way to Pressburg to the Chassam Sofer. And what did the Chassam Sofer do with this tree, with this piece of wood? He took the knife that was used by his Rebbe, Rabbi Nosson Adler, as the knife for Bris Mila. He took the wood, and he took the Bris Mila knife, he brought it to a craftsman, and he asked him to take the wood and use the wood as a handle for the Bris Mila knife. And they did it, and then on the Bris Mila knife, they etched the words. On this piece of wood, they etched the words, "V'hine shloisha anoshim nitzavim olaf." That is what the Chassam Sofer instructed to be etched into the piece of wood that was used as the handle for this particular knife. So they asked, and he asked over here, why did he want specifically this pasuk? L'chor, you take the pasuk v'shana tachas ha'etz. So the answer that was the traditional answer given why the Chassam Sofer was because one of the three people that stood underneath the tree was the Malach Raphael. And Bris Mila, by nature, is a very dangerous medical procedure. It used to be much more dangerous than it is today. Today, Baruch Hashem, due to modern medicine and due to technology, Bris Mila is as safe as it can be. But years ago, when there were a lot of diseases and they did not have such, the technology was not so great, and Rachman Lestam, the child, got sick, it wasn't so simple that he should be cured. The antibiotics were not so good. It was a very great sakana. So the Chassam Sofer wanted a zecher for the three anoshim that lied underneath the tree, which included the Malach Raphael, so that when they used this knife or this piece of wood, which was visited by the Malach Raphael, there would be a skula that the child would not come lidei sakon. And indeed they record that after they did this and they used this piece of wood for this knife with etched the words of Vayinei Shloish Anoshim, it never happened that a child came lidei sakona when they used this knife. Okay, that's a very fascinating idea concerning this particular tree. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a pshat in the pasuk. The Medrash says, this is a Musa Haskel, Hayipoli me Hashem Dovar, Lamoyed, Oshuve Lecha, in the right time I'll return to you, Koeis Chaya, at a time of life, Ulisaravain. Rashi says that Sarah was zocha to a miracle that she became like a Nara. Even though she was 90 years old, she once again was Pere Stam Kenida, her flesh became soft, like a young girl, and she developed a womb, a rechem, and she was able to nurse her child when the child was born. So the Medrash says, he brings down the Medrash, he brings from the Shlon fact, that all of these things did not happen to Sarah in one shot. When the Malach said, do not worry, you will have a child, a miracle will happen, that you will be restored to your youth, the miracles did not happen instantaneously. It happened gradually when they were needed. The first thing Sarah needed was that she should become a Nida. In other words, that her cycle should resume. The next thing she needed is that her basar should become soft. Then, at a later point in time, she needed her to develop a rechem, a womb, to hold the child. And at a later point in time, she needed to be able to nurse the child. So the Medrash goes on to say that all the various stages of Sarah returning to her youth did not happen instantaneously. It happened gradually over time. So he learns from the Shlah, that's pshat in the pasuk, Hayipoli me'ashem davar la'moed, in its right time, ashuv elecha. Ashuv elecha, he learns, is that your youth will return to you, everything will come back to you gradually in the time that you needed la'moed, in its proper time. The Musar Haskel is that in life, bracha, real bracha, doesn't come suddenly. Bracha comes to a person gradually. Lamoed. Piece by piece, everything has to come in its right time. Okay. Another interesting idea that women are pasul eidos. Why are women pasul eidos? He quotes an obscure medrash because Sarah lied. Vatichachesh Sarah lemar, she denied when she was told that she would have a child. Sarah denied and says, no. Lema loitzachakti, I did not laugh. I did not laugh. Ki yoreya, she was afraid. You did laugh, you did lie. The Medrash says, because Sarah lied, what do we learn? We learn that women are not good under pressure. The source for this is the Chizkuni. Believe it or not, it's not even the Medrash. Kosav shemikan lemedim shehanoshim psulos lechizkuni. But that's not a reason to say the pasul eidos. The chizkuni says mikan kosav shemikan lemedim shehanoshim psulos leidos lefi shemachoshos mipnei hayira. If a woman is afraid, she's prone to lie due to fear. Where do we learn that from? Sarah, no one is greater than Sarah Imenu, and Sarah lied when she was afraid. Therefore, from here we learn that a woman is not. Okay, I don't know. I hear you saying. So this is a very interesting thing. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. This is another interesting idea. Ki yedativ lemanasher yitzav esbanav vespeso achrav v'shamru derech Hashem la'asoit stakom. This pasuk is the makor. Many gedolei Yisrael issue a last will and testament, not a will of mammon, but a moral will. Before they leave the world, they leave all the Geras Ramban.
Instructions.
They leave instructions of things that their children should focus on to bring them l'chayim. This is my life experience. I've gone through life. These are what I've learned from life. I'm telling you, my children, I want you to be medachtik in this particular mitzvah to guard this particular thing. Where does this concept come from? It comes from this pasuk that ki yedativ. Hashem says, I love Avraham. I know him. L'man asher yitzav, because I know that when he's going to die, he's going to instruct his children Yitzchak and his grandchildren Yaakov to focus on certain things. That's where this moral will comes from, this pasuk. So he brings over here something very interesting. The Chassam Sofer, he was once searching for chametz, it's the Lil Pesach, the Er Pesach, doing the chametz, and he came across his wife's will. His wife wrote a moral will. And he was mishtoimim. He read the will. He couldn't believe what she wrote in the will. In other words, telling her children exactly different things to focus on. And he said, I can't believe this. I'm much older than you. He told his wife, I can't believe what I found. I'm much older than you. And I didn't even consider writing a will, a moral will. And you beat me to it. You already wrote this beautiful will. This will is quoted, the different form where it's actually we quoted word for word exactly what she wrote. But what's very tragic is that she died very young. She died when she was 46 years old. Chassam Sofer's wife. So somehow she had, I guess, a sense that she was going to leave the world. She wrote this will in advance. Can anybody... The world, really, that's all different people from different famous people. So I'm sure the Chassam Sofer's wife must be there. Okay, this week's parish we also learn Ulai. Avram says Ulai yesh chamishim tzadikim
sechem. Brothers came back,
yeah,
and they said, your father said you should not.
So you see, they already had this, they had such rules. Okay, another idea. Avram says, Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim. Maybe there are 50 tzadikim, and the schus of the 50 tzadikim you can save the entire city. So here he discusses all the various midrashim and how many, the schus of how many tzadikim does the world exist. Does the world exist in the matter of Ashrei kol chaychelo? 36 tzaddikim. But there are conflicting midrashim. There's another midrash that says in the schus of 72 tzaddikim the world exists. And there's a schus of, I think he says, 18,000 tzaddikim. All different numbers of tzaddikim. One thing he says very interesting is that the reason why we have 36 mesechtes in Talmud Bavli is because they correspond to the 36 tzaddikim. It used to be that there were 36 tzaddikim whose merit we can be survived. Bizman hazeh, their koyach is weak. And therefore, that's why we have 36 mesechtes of Talmud Bavli in the schools of the 36 mesechtes of Talmud Bavli. In that merit, the world continues to exist. So the Talmud Bavli took the place of the 36 tzaddikim. That's a very interesting idea. The Ma'ar V'Shemesh. The Ma'ar V'Shemesh writes this. Okay, let's go to another idea. The, Then he quotes the pasuk Chmei Ashacha Olah Vayuitzu Hamalachim Belo Lemar Kum Kach Ishtecha. Take your wife, take your daughters and your son-in-laws and leave. So he quotes all these interesting stories about people that were saved. They're saved because of dreams. One of the most famous is the Rosh. The famous Rosh. What would Klal Yisrael be today without the Rosh? One of the first codifiers of Shulchan Aruch. The only reason why the Rosh is alive is because his father, Rabbeinu Yechiel, came to his wife in a dream 6 months after he died to tell his wife, you're in great sakana, this town is going to be destroyed, the goyim are coming tonight, pack up and leave. His wife listened, she packed up all the children and left, and sure enough, the whole town, everyone was killed. It's only because Rabbeinu Yechiel...
Is
he
Germany?
Rabbeinu the Rosh? I don't know. Rabbeinu Yechiel, he was a Yosem. Rabbeinu Yechiel came to his mother, came to his wife, and to tell them to get to leave town. Okay, now we come to Avram with Pelishtim. Avraham twice he had to tell his wife, tell them that you are my sister. I'm your brother, you're my sister. So it says here it says Rabbeinu Bachya. Okay, Rabbeinu Bachya says that the first time Avraham did not give his wife a get. The second time, it's Rabbeinu Bachya says, Avraham gave Sarah a get when they came to Avimelech. After the whole mice with Paro, Avraham said, "Anakni misimach alanes." Who knows what's going to happen this time? This time they may abduct you. "Anakni misimach alanes," and therefore I don't want you to do an avera. Eishas ish. He gave Sarah a get krisus, and when she was taken to Avimelech, she was not technically married to Avraham. And then he gets in the whole discussion that Avraham was a kohen. Avraham had the status of a kohen. So how was Avraham allowed to take back his wife Sarah after he gave her? No, it wasn't all tonight. He says it was a full-fledged get. Doesn't miss anything about it tonight. So he has a whole discussion for the Torah. You can listen to that, how often apply. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Are you allowed to be mispalel for a guy? Are you allowed to be mispalel that a guy should have a refuah shem? So I told you the story once with Meir Zlatowitz. In the early days of Art School, when they were publishing the Art School Gevaros, there was a guy who ran the binding in the basement of the building of Art School. And this guy was the only one who knew how to manage the machines. And he was sick. And his illness was causing them to delay the publication of one of the early printings of the Art Scroll Gemaris that was being published to get at the time of the Daf Yomi, and he really needed this guy. And if this guy wouldn't come back, it would be a very big delay. So I think he asked either Rav Moshe or he asked Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky if he can be. It couldn't be the Art Scroll because they were alive at that time. Rav Yaakov was Rav Moshe alive at the time of the Art Scroll. 86. I know that. I don't know. But I don't know. Whatever. So he asked one of the girls. He wanted to make a mishaberach. A mishaberach for the guy. And the answer is yes. You are allowed to be mispalel that a guy should get better. If the guy is good to you, he has done you toivos. You can make a mishaberach. You can be mispalel. Because from the sixth parasha, Vayispalel Avraham Elokim, Vayirpa Elokim, Vayisari Melech, Vayisisha, Vayamoisa, Vayaleidu, we find the fairish that he was mispalel for them. And the first one went down. The guy they bought for themselves, but the guy bought their own korbanos. But doesn't mean that the Jews are being mispalel for goyim.
So
the kohanim.
The kohanim took it out.
Yeah, but it's not a tefillah. It's not an actual tefillah. It's just the offering of the korban. It's not an actual tefillah. Okay, so different things. But the point is, Yilad. Now, however, he brings down that a Jew should not say tehillim for a goy. Interesting idea. Why not? Because when you say tehillim, you're invoking the zechus of Torah. The psukim of Tehillim have the status of Torah, and a goy does not have the zechus of Torah. So it's not the right thing to say Tehillim for a goy. You have a goy, you like him very much. He's very good to you. He's the babysitter for your children. You really like him, he's a great guy. Can you say Tehillim? No. Tehillim you should not say, but you are allowed to be mispalel for him in the Shemona Esrei, insert his name, or make a mishaberach on Shabbos, just don't tell the Gabbai that the person you make the mishaberach for will look at you, but you are allowed to technically be mispalel for a guy.
Jimmy Bishop.
They named after the right. Now what about, He brings her a fascinating story that the Shinva Rebbe. You know the Shinva Rebbe. You told about the Shinva Rebbe, that he had a guy who was one of his gaboyim. And what was the job of this guy? A lot of people would come and bring kvitlach. I know kvitlach, but they brought their problems. They brought their problems to the Shinva Rebbe. They held of him, and he had a special gabbai who was a guy to be the intermediary between the goyish chassidim and the Rebbe. He had a Jew. He had gaboyim to handle the yidden. And he had a guy, so my shahai is a famous thing, that the Shinva Rebbe, he had a special guy, his name was, I don't know how to pronounce it, Yoshka? Maybe Yoshka. That was the name of the guy. And he was in charge of handling all of the correspondence, all of the goyim who came and needed help and wanted the Rebbe to mispalul on his behalf. Okay, then he brings out something which is very, I don't know if this is true. You have to tell me that it says, that the Sipurno says this, that al derech hateva, when a woman reaches the end of her years of when she can have children, it's natural she'll only have girls. Did you ever hear such a thing? I don't know if this is true today. That's what the Sipurno says. That when a woman, when she's a zakena, if she has a zakena, has a child, you can bet 99% of the time it's going to be a girl. It's not going to be a boy. It's a mitzias. That's what he says. So he learns Shan the Pasuk. That's why it says here, Vayas Hashem, L'Sara, Ubirachti Oysa, I have blessed Sara, V'gam Nasata Mimeno L'cha Bein. Why is it necessary to say the two things? I'm going to give her a bracha, and I'm also going to give her a son. The reason why you have to say both is because a woman who's a zakena, it's not normal for her to have a son. A woman who's a zakena, it's normal to have a daughter, not a son, and therefore you needed, that's two brachas. Number one, she'll have a child. Number two, when she'll have a child, the child that she's going to have is going to, even that's going to be a boy. Okay? Next quick idea. This is very interesting. Can a sheichet be this expression about the parasha of Mila, Bris Mila? Okay, V'ayam la'avraham is b'no ben shmarasim kashen tzivos olukim. Here's a shaila. Is this used to be a very big controversy in Klal Yisrael? Can a sheichet be a moyel? So Bizman hazeh, he brings the olim makaros that it's no big deal. That Bizman hazeh, a sheichet kavua can be a moel, and it used to be there many cities where the sheichet was the moel. It's the same trade. You have to be good with your hands. Okay, a surgeon, you gotta be good with your hands. It doesn't make a difference. However, he brings in a lot of stories. There's a lot of stories and a lot of different gedolim. There was a very big hakpada that the sheichet should not be the moel. The sheichet has a koyach of taking away life. Mila is to bring life, and he brings all these spooky stories where it happened not often, I don't know, where the sheichet was the moel, and he made a mistake. He made the Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Kedoshanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu Al HaShechita. And he brings all the sources. And when that happened, even though he did a proper Mila, but the baby died. And he brings out stories where the parents of the child, they sued the moihel. Because you said ala shchita, you brought down a koyach of misa. Okay, we are not on a madrega today where this is an issue, but it's just an interesting idea that it used to be such a thing in the olden days. There was a very big hakpada that the sheichet kavua b'masa is not allowed to be the moyel in.
What do you have if you have a woman?
Oh, that's Shulchan Aruch.
Right, so the mila is a good mila, but how does she can't make the bracha?
Because she's not mitzvah yosa. She's not mitzvah, so it's a problem. If you're not mitzvah, you can't be a shliach. It's a very big problem. Okay, I don't know that. But one other time he talks about a great length is it used to be shocking to us. It used to be that women were sandiks.
Oh yeah.
When did you ever go to a bris? Think about it. Go to a bris mila with sandikos, the mother of the baby.
The whole sandikos is just minhag.
It's a big thing. The sandikos. It's al birka yosef. It's a mekosik that a friend of Menashe got b'nei mochim b'Menashe yuldu al birka yosef. So yosef was the sandik. That's the mekosik. It was done al birka yosef on the niece. He was the sandik. You have a mekor in the Torah. But it used to be, it seems, in the time of the Rishonim, It used to be not so uncommon for the mother of the baby to be the tzaddik. You believe that? What?
It is hard to believe.
The mother. The Maram Iranberg, who killed Minog? The Maram Iranberg. He felt it was priestess. It was too much because the women were coming to shul. It appears the objection is not so much that the woman can't be a tzaddik.
The mother is because she was able to calm the child.
To calm the child, to hold the child down, right. It's also her child. She's emotionally attached. She's emotionally attached to the child. So she's the baby's on her knees when they're doing the bris milah and she wants to be there and she'll calm down the child. She's emotionally attached. So it appears that until the time of the Rishonim, the late Rishonim, very interesting, it was not so uncommon for the mother of the baby, or even another woman, maybe the grandmother, to be the tzaddik by the bris. The Maram Iranberg made a big, big issue out of this. He held that in his time it became pritzos. Women were coming in. Once they come in, they all get dressed up. There's a taruvis, men and women. It's a davar shel kedusha. It got out of hand. Okay, just like today, a lot of things have gotten out of hand, and that's why he put an end to it, and he made a very big hakpah that a woman should not be the tzaddik. So since the time of the late Rishonim, we don't find women serving in that role.
And they started becoming kvaters?
Yeah. Kvat is a couple. It's always like,
yeah,
this, I don't know. Okay, one last thing, which maybe one last idea is this idea: a baby. This is what it says in this. This is a real strange medrash. The medrash in Medrash Rabbah, Isa Davar Pella. Okay, the name of the sefer is called Oitza Pelos Davar Pella. She Yitzchak Avinu Hayahay Yelad Harishon BaOlam Shoyem Mutal BaArisa. The first crib. It's a multi-million-dollar business to buy. You know how much a good crib costs today? You go buy a fancy crib, they go on Amazon. Some of the cribs cost, I once worked for someone, that he specialized in cribs. The good crib, you buy a crib today for $1,000. It's fancy, buy the bedding for a crib. Unbelievable. It goes on, the bedding for these designer cribs. The first one that was put in a crib was Yitzchak. It says in the Medrash. What's the Medrash? That until the time when children were born, they were running around there. Today it takes how long to think until a child can take his first steps? Almost a year and a half? A year? Something like that? Whatever it is? Whatever it is? Instant. A baby came out of the mother's womb. Bo by yom, the kid was walking around already. The day the baby was born, the baby was walking. If the baby is already walking, you don't put the baby in a crib. Where do you put the baby? You put the baby on a bed. Like anyone else. The kid has legs. Once you can walk, it's totally zebizah. I'm assuming, your parents, I'm assuming that the time when a child already sleeps on the bed is already at a point when the baby can walk. It goes zebizah. The baby can walk, he can take care of himself, he's not vulnerable to hurt himself. When a baby cannot walk, he needs a crib. Mamela Yitzchak was the first human being that came out of their mother's womb that was unable to walk.
It was good because bris, you give the baby a bris, and the baby will start running around afterwards.
You got to hold him down. Okay, you got to hold him down. You got to put him in a straitjacket. The male of the first one to be put in a crib, to be locked up in a crib, to be put in a prison, was Yitzchak Avinu. That's what it says in the Medrash. Then comes the next thing. What about this custom, universal custom? You rock the cradle, you rock the baby, you move. Why do we do that? So we do it to calm the baby down. So according to the Medrash, that's not where it comes from. In this minhag of shaking the crib is in order to ingrain, that's what it says in the Medrash, so I believe that's why it's a pelos, is to ingrain in the child the minhag to shuckle. When you learn and you daven, why do you shuckle? What's the whole time? That's what it says here. Why do you shuckle? Why does it ingrain within us? Zrizos. Because when you move back and forth, that stimulates your senses to be diligent in what you're doing. If you're davening, you're just sitting there, and you read the words, and you just sit there like a log, there's no chis.
So I'll
tell you what it says. I hear the question. I acknowledge the question. There are many gedolim that didn't shuckle, that don't shuckle. But this concept, listen to what it says here. This concept of shuckling is related to diligence. If you just sit there, you fall asleep. But if you train yourself to move, rhythm, that somehow it gives you some great degree of diligence. So this is what it says. They put the baby in the crib. You know why you shake the crib? It has nothing to do with calming the baby down. The baby should stop crying. We want to have baby start crying, you take a shot, and you tell the kid, you're quiet. That's not the way you calm the reason why they would shake the crib was to ingrain within the child diligence.
Father, when you're shaking, he's learning.
I don't know. What happened is that over time, over niskatnu hadoros, we forgot about the reason of diligence, and it became a technique, a psychological technique, in order to calm the baby down, and it became a universal custom that you shake the crib in order to calm the baby down. But that's not the way it started. It started off a different world where the shaking of the crib was to ingrain in the child the midah of zrizus. Okay, we'll stop here.